This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com. And welcome back to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman. Joining me outside of Craven Cottage is Max Cohen, Emilio Danilo, and Steve Lydiard. This is our initial reaction show to Fulham's 3-1 loss, or I'll call Coventry City's 3-1 victory against Fulham. Again, let's just start off, guys, before I get your thoughts on the match. I just want to congratulate Coventry City and their supporters because they outplayed Fulham in two matches, and they deserve all 3 points. It wasn't even close, guys. I'm going to say that. So I just want to start off by congratulating the Coventry City supporters because they deserve that. I already did that on Twitter, so I wanted to do that here. And I'm sure we're going to get many that are going to be watching this. And we'll be talking a lot about them. We're going to be giving them the credit that they do. Max, like you and I did when they beat us when Fulham were on the road. So we'll talk about that as well. But I do have to mention this, guys, because Max and myself did a show after the last match, the reverse fixture of full-time, and we got a lot of comments. We got a lot of anti-American comments. Now, I'm just speaking to the people that did this because it wasn't one, it wasn't two, it was some. And I've been doing this show for 10 years. Max lived in London, went to matches at Fulham Football Club. There's no place for this. You get full credit for the victory. I'm a Fulham supporter since 2007, and I certainly didn't deserve that, and there was a good amount of it, and Max didn't deserve it. I just have to get off my chest on that. Let's move on from that. Guys, let's talk about the match. Max, I'll go to you first. This wasn't even close, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, it was disappointing. First off, just want to say it's great to be back here with Emilio and Steve. Great to see my mates in London. And it's great to be back at the cottage after a long time away. It was a poor match. I mean, there was a great 10-minute spell after Declan Overeem scored when the entire stadium was on its feet. We thought we could get an equalizer. The noise was behind us, and it was just like old times at the cottage.
Right.
But, of course, it didn't work out for us today. You have to single out Tosin. I thought he was poor.
Okay.
Overeem was excellent. Give him credit.
Yeah.
But the attack also suffered. So there are a number of spells there where Coventry were the better side by far. But again, a poor loss, and the goal right at the end was a real killer.
Horrible.
Very hard to take.
Horrible. Emilio, I'm going to go in a different direction with you. Was Marco Silva outcoached in this match? Now, this is two times that they have been blown out. And I have to tell you that I'm just asking the question because they were on top of us the entire match. They knew how we were going to play. Marco Silva adjusted in the second half, but they have a system that worked out well. This is a team that knows how to play against us. So I'm going to ask the question, was Marco Silva outcoached?
I think so. I think we've always said, that central midfield, that defensive midfield setup. Just if you're going to play Harrison Reed, play him in his natural position. Don't play him in a more mature forward starting midfield role. That's the first criticism. Every time he's played in that more advanced role, been ineffective. Second half, he's the player we expect him to be. Shalabar, I don't think he actually played that bad. Okay. But clearly, you know, didn't offer much, you know, in terms of quality there. I'm surprised Seri didn't start, to be honest with you. I'm surprised to see Seri on the bench. But overall, yes, I think he was outcoached. And, you know, we came out second half a lot more determined, more hungrier. The formation was a more natural formation.
Right.
And we looked dangerous. On another day, we would have scored two or three goals. But you can't win every game, right? Some games some games you lose. But they threatened from set pieces and corners right through the whole game. That first half, those corners were immense from them. And then we Rodak struggled to basically defend those corners. And one of them, obviously, I haven't seen the replay. One of them maybe ricocheted off someone's arm, kept someone on the arm and went back to the net. But overall, the best team won today.
Yes.
But the frustrations from my part is, you know, you've got people come from abroad to watch the game.
I know, Max,
that,
I know.
That disappointing performance. And we didn't deserve anything from the game. So no. I'm going to be very clear. Coventry did outbox us. They deserve to win, and we move on. The fact they've done a double over us, congratulations. I suspect someone has to do the double over the champions of this division. So enjoy while you can, Coventry. We might see you in the Premier League one year.
Yeah, and listen, like I said, full credit to them, full credit to the manager, full credit to the players. They outplayed Fulham, and I think they outcoached them as well. Steve, I know you can only stay with a few minutes. I call Steve Mr. Whippy. Mr. Whippy, give me your first half analysis.
That's about it, really. I thought we were really, really poor. I mean, 8 minutes in, I tweeted something about Shalabar. I wanted him taken off after just a stupid free kick he gave away early doors. And I thought the team selection was wrong as well. I didn't understand why Brian wasn't playing at left back today instead of Robinson. We got caught out too many times down the wings today. I just thought there were two or three different selections that we got wrong. Shalabar, Robinson, possibly one other, but that was definitely the two that stuck out to me.
Okay, excellent. Emilio, back over to you. Let's talk about the first goal. Did you guys get a good view of this off of a corner? The first goal from Coventry City.
See you, Steve. Sorry, nice to see Steve's the same goodbye with this.
Bye, Steve.
Bye, Steve. Show the badge. Come on, Fulham.
Go, lad. Hey.
Put your thing up.
There you go.
See you soon, guys.
This is live. This is live broadcasting.
That's the beauty of live broadcasting.
That's right.
Cottage.
That's the beauty. Right outside of Craven Cottage. So, Emilio, let's talk about the first goal. Do you get a good view?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I haven't seen a replay of it. But again, like Steve said, you know, disappointing free kick leading up to that. But when it was from the corner, again, I don't want to blame Rodak here. We're going to criticise Rodak quite significantly today. But overall, good corner. I thought it was a rick. I thought it deflected.
Yeah, look, perhaps an own goal or something. Yeah,
I haven't seen a replay, but it came off. That's Fulham players were complaining, especially Rodak, saying there was it hit someone's arm. Now, whether the replay suggests that, I don't know. But overall, we did struggle to defend those corners throughout the whole game.
The whole
Rodak
game.
Rodak was constantly on
game.
His spot over time. You know, you need a keeper who's competent and dominates his 6-yard box. He did nothing like that today. And much I like Rodak. I'm a big fan of his.
I'm sorry, Marek Rodak was poor today. Let's just call it what it is.
And I'm going to call it out. Gazzaniga will start against Derby County, and Marcus Silva will be thinking, who's his number two for next year?
Okay, excellent.
So I'm calling it out.
Big shout.
Big shout.
Emilio did
big shout from Emilio.
To me and
big
Steve.
Big call out.
He said Rodak cannot be a Premier League keeper next season.
I agree with you guys. And Max, let's talk about the second goal, because if they don't score the second goal, I think the match is very different. And gentlemen, Jim and Jamie, they basically were calling out Rodak on this. This was a poor goal to give up. He can't give up this goal, Max. I know we all make mistakes, but they can't give up this goal.
Sorry, Russ. We're in the car park here. There's some cars moving. The second goal, I think you're asking about. So from my vantage point, just like a total shocker by Marek Rodak. Complete shocker. I thought it took a deflection, because how on earth has he let that go in just straight at him? Emilio was a bit closer to it.
No, I didn't see a deflection.
No deflection at all.
Misjudged it.
Just done so poorly.
Yeah.
When you're too complacent, and Rodak hasn't had much. We haven't been troubled defensively this year in terms of goal. How many goalkeeping saves has Rodak had to make this season compared to 2 years ago? Years ago, he was outstanding. We all wanted him to start as Premier League keeper. And unfortunately, Arriola was selected, who was probably one of our best players last year.
Yeah.
But Rodak's had less saves to make this year, but he's been more noticeably error prone and been average. That's just my observation.
And what I'll say about the second goal was that every time Coventry went forward in that first half, it looked so much more dangerous than we did. And it was the Nico Williams right back position. It was the far end of the pitch from where I was sitting. Mm. Was where that danger is coming. The Coventry player cuts in, and I think it's Tosin who kind of just loses him. And it's a free shot. I was saying someone stepped to him.
Yeah.
Again, the keeper should not be beaten from that at all. But the defense also just didn't track. And that was kind of the story of the first 20 minutes. We just looked asleep.
Central midfield is just like straight through. You could just walk through that central midfield. And their set piece, you know, they're penetrating us. And their set piece is very dangerous. Very dangerous.
Exactly. Emilio, I want to ask you this because, again, I'm glad that we're talking about how dominant Coventry City were in the early stages, and I'll say for the most of the half. But I want to ask you this because I don't think Fulham matched their intensity. I don't think, you know, and again, we could say urgency, but I'll use the word intensity because they were on top of us and they knew exactly what they needed to do. Every pass was crisp. They were on it, and I don't think we matched their intensity. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. I think, you know, we just struggled in our first half. You know, they were trying to play us on the break. You know, we had too many defensive frailties there. You've said it, Max, as well. Tosin had a shocker the whole game and Ream having to cover up for him most of the game. You know, Williams going forward, good, you know, very, very strong. And but, you know, slightly susceptible in defence at times as well. But overall, you know, Coventry, man for man, they were more up for it. The fact that they wanted to beat us for the second time this season, they still got a sniffing chance to get into the playoffs. So they had probably more to play for than we did. And I think that complacency sort of crept in as well, I think, throughout the game.
Right. And the way that I'm looking at this, and I'm watching the first half, and we'll talk about the second half in just a second, is that I just felt that this match in its entirety has more to do with them than it does with Fulham, which is kind of sad to say, meaning that we can blame Fulham for their mistakes, but this is about what Coventry City did to Fulham, Max, for me. It's how they dictated the match.
Yeah, and listen, as Emilio said, similar thing happened in the reverse fixture.
Exactly.
It tore us apart. Yeah. And it's something about the side. You know, every team has to have a bogey team. It might be Coventry for us. The way they attacked and the way they seem to always get Georgis free, and they're always runners, and it's just quick.
And he was dangerous the entire match.
The set pieces, I mean, every single set piece, as we mentioned, Rodak flapping and getting nowhere near. Yep. Normally, we're the side that's threading from set pieces. You know, he's got a reverse mentality here. Right. We just were not up for it. But I would say, Russ, we had loads of chances. On a different day, that Mitro header in the first half, great save, that goes in. Carvalho, flick header, second half goes in.
I know.
Cabano hit the bar. Muniz, it's a weird match because we lost 3-1, and it's very frustrating, and I'm very upset. But when you look back at it, we created quite a bit, and the finishing maybe just wasn't there.
Yeah, we could have won 3-2 in that game, arguably speaking.
Yep.
Yeah. That's a great point, Max, because, again, in the second half, what did you guys make of the substitution to begin the second half, Emilio, to bring on Bobby Decker Dover Reed and take off Chalaba?
A positive move. I think Reed goes back to his natural position, which is, I think, going back to my earlier point, either he plays in his natural position or we don't play him at all.
I totally agree. And I'm
end of story.
I'll give you 100. I totally agree. I think it's about time we said that.
And then
he played his natural position.
Up, he mopped up and he kept the ball moving quite nicely. You know, then Bobby Decker, not elegant, but, you know, he'd always pop up with goals. He'd actually brought a lot of positive.
Great goal, to be fair.
He was involved as soon as he came on. I thought he looked lively. He made some good touches. It was good movement with Wilson and Williams as well. So I think overall, a good positive change.
Okay. And what did you make of the other substitutions? I'll go to you, Max. Let's talk about Muniz coming on, and then they bring on Josh Onuma. And I'm not sure, do you guys get a good look at what happened to Nico Williams?
I wasn't quite sure. I think he actually fouled a player and then went down himself. He went down clutching his knee, maybe some. I'm not sure where it was in his leg, but he didn't look in a great way. Mm. He did walk off under his own, you know, volition, so maybe that's not too serious. But the substitutions, they were attacking. Mm. We switched to a back three.
Yeah. Yep.
It was all a bit helter-skelter, but you needed that.
It was.
Down two goals with 50 minutes to go. So Muniz gave that extra bit of attacking impetus up top. He should have scored, I think, in that chance he had laid on at 2-1. Yep. Onuma had a very poor back pass, which almost resulted in the goal. But there were a couple of situations where he broke free of the midfield, and once he broke through that press, we could kick on the counterattack. So I thought they were good substitutions. No. My only question was, where was Seri? I'm not the biggest Seri fan in the world, everyone knows that, but
right.
he could have added a bit more calmness.
Composure,
that final pass, which was missing in this match. So I was a bit surprised not to see him on the pitch.
Okay.
I think when, on that point as well, is literally the last 20 minutes, it was just chaos.
It was madness, makes sense. Yeah.
There was no system. You know, we'll just hope.
Yeah.
Play long balls.
At all.
People playing out of position.
That was weird.
Bobby Reed out wide. Then you got... You on him and made a forward run. Yeah. Obviously assisted with a goal as well.
Because he wasn't really playing right wing back.
No, we
didn't really have a right back.
No system. It was just like keep pushing forward, keep moving, keep pushing commentary back, and hope and pray. That's what it was. That's what it felt like. There was no system.
It almost worked.
It almost did. And Max, what are your thoughts about the goal from Bobby Decadova Reed?
It's a great goal. We have to give him credit because he started out the move
well
in his own half or right around the halfway line. He played a nice 1-2, and it was a nice, cool, low finish in the bottom right hand corner. I was happy for him.
Yeah.
He's someone who, you know, isn't getting the starts he maybe thinks he deserves.
Yep.
He needs to show the manager something. He needs something to prove. And that really, with 8 minutes to go, it brought the Cottage to life.
It did. Yeah.
And there was belief for us. And that's,
yeah.
Listen, we lost 3-1. At least I got to see a goal here at the Cottage.
You know, I'll give Onum a bit of credit as well. Without,
you
know,
Max.
He had time, but he looked up. He didn't square the board into the net, into the six-yard box. He looked up. Passed it back to Reed, and he maybe didn't hit it as cleanly as he would like, but still went in the back of the net. And like you said, there was still 8 minutes plus added time, so there were still moments. And on another day, Muniz, if you're playing more regularly,
maybe he scores.
He would hit that in the back of the net. When you're not playing regularly, you know, he maybe took a moment to think about what he's going
to
do.
Too much time.
Yeah, too much time. And I think that's the difference between confidence and maybe when you're just like a bit part player, which he is at the moment.
Okay, guys, I have to ask you this because gentlemen Jim and Jamie went off on the situation with Mitro. Should Fulham have been awarded a penalty? Your thoughts? They both were adamant about this. I didn't get a good view. I don't think I got a great view of it. So, Max, what did you make of this?
I don't know. I mean, you could have been referring to many situations.
Yeah, a few, wasn't it?
I mean, he got tangled up a bunch. I have to say, where I was sat in the Johnny Haynes stand near the Putney end, I couldn't get a great view.
Okay.
Maybe Amelia, were you closer to the situation?
Yeah, you know, I sit on the. This is one in the second half, right? Which one are we talking?
Yeah,
second half. I think reputation gets the better of him. That's the problem for me.
Yeah, totally.
You know, I said it to Joe on the game. Bo Morte, many years ago, many penalties were not given to him because of his reputation of diving and cheating. And Mitrovic is going to be the same. He wouldn't. If it was somebody else, you would have likely got a penalty out of it because it's Mitrovic. The benefit of that always goes to the opposing teams. And it's just because of who he is and reputationally, you know, he likes to make things very dramatic. So I'd like to see it again. I wasn't convinced it was a penalty.
Okay.
Put it that way.
Okay. And to finish this off, guys, and again, I actually had a feeling that Fulham might get that equalizer, but then you have what happened at the end of the match. So, Max, I want to get your thoughts about the third goal from Callum O'Hare. And again, this is a tap-in.
Yeah,
what was going on here to end this match?
Listen, a real dog's breakfast. just a category of errors. I mean, Rodak, I think Milo or Steve were talking about it. He was supposed to roll it out, but he jogs into his feet, plays in Ream. And as I said, the only error Ream made all match. Ream was flawless. He's my man in the match by far. He gets caught in the ball. And then Rodak tries to go out initially to cut off the ball into the box. Realized he has to retreat. And I'm not really sure what happened with the marking, but it's just a square ball, a tap in, and the Coventry fans went mental. And almost every single person in the ground, except you know myself, my family left at that point. It really took the air.
Yeah, it did. And the frustration for me is other end of the pitch.
Yep.
Tim Ream, your captain, tells your keeper, get the ball out. What does Rodak do? Ignore him.
Yeah.
Carries the ball forward. And then drops it.
Yeah,
what the hell are you doing, Marek Rodak? Your captain has given you explicit instruction. You've ignored him. So, sorry, Rodak. Your shock of the second goal. You looked a liability from set piece of corner. You don't command your box.
True.
And third goal. So, I'm afraid, as much as I hate to say it, I think we do need a reinforcement in the Premier League last year. This season, he's been average.
Mm.
There's been moments when he has been tested, hasn't done as well as he should do. He's looked a little bit unsettling.
Yep.
And his distribution, I don't know if you agree, Max, this is that he doesn't distribute the ball as quickly as he was 2 years ago.
Yeah, I think you're
he
right.
He seems to be holding 100%. The ball, looking, hesitating. Whereas 2 years ago, as soon as he gets the ball, it's straight out.
Yep.
So for some reason, I don't know, whether he's more guarded, I can't figure it out, but he's not the player he was 2 years ago.
100%.
Okay.
100%.
Guys, let me share this comment. Hopefully you guys can see this. If not, I'll read it. This is from Lee Manning. Overall, Coventry deserved their win and applied speed and urgency throughout the match. We woke up in the second half, but we were always vulnerable to the counterattack. I couldn't agree more. We won't cruise to promotion and must not lose to Derby. Now, I still think we're going to get promotion. I'm not worried about that, but that's going to lead to talk about the Derby match. We'll talk about that in just a second. But what are your thoughts, guys, about the comments from Lee Manning here?
Yeah, Lee spot on. I think the vulnerable to the counterattack, that was the story of the match. Mm-hmm. When we tried to attack, Coventry often had 6 to 7 players behind the ball. Yeah. There was no central midfield movement. Carvalho was anonymous. We have to put that in there.
True.
We just put it out wide, and oftentimes just kind of the back four playing with each other. When Coventry went forward, it was direct, it was quick, and more often than not, they won a corner or had a ball in the box out of it. That's the nature of, I think, exactly. That's the You're tactics. Right. No, great away performance. They knew how to control us. I'm not sure about we won't cruise to promotion. I don't think this has too much of a bearing on the final.
I don't either.
7 matches this season, but, you know, I agree. If we lose to Derby, then it's 2 losses in a row. It's a bit of a narrative now. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I agree. I think we every time we've said it many times when we have struggled, you know, it's Reading as well. Same thing again. They pushed us back and they played on the break and counterattack and we got stung by Reading at home earlier in the season.
So that was a long time ago. Wow,
So you might agree with the comment, but ultimately it's more a question when can we wrap up this championship? Not the promotion. I won the title.
He wants the title. Okay, well, coming up next, we're going to talk about when can Fulham wrap up the title, and I'm going to share some comments with the guys as well. Okay, guys, to finish up, I do have some comments from the Fulham supporters. I'm just going to share them with you guys. So let's just, and they keep coming in, so please keep the comments coming. This is from Neil Stewart. Why isn't Onuma playing more? Chalba isn't doing it for me. Your thoughts, Max?
It's a good question. I think Onuma, I don't think he showed enough today to start, but it's certainly a good question to ask of Silva because Chalba, I mean, listen, I saw him in person for the first time today. He's massive. He's so tall when you see him on the pitch compared to other players. But I don't know if he's a Premier League player. I don't even know if he's a championship starting player. So I would like to see Onuma playing more. It can't hurt. There are some times when he drove forward today, took on players. We needed that. Players who can dribble, drive forward. Sure, give him a start in a couple matches. But I think at the end of the day, neither of these players deserve to start in the Premier League. And that's where we have to look.
That's the bottom line. Exactly. Yeah. Bottom. And on that point, what's disappointing about today, forget the performance. The sooner we wrap up promotion, the sooner he can experiment. Sounds crazy.
Yeah, I agree.
He's got to start thinking about who does he think is good enough to be squad player for next year.
That's great. Rather
than still trying to fight for points. So neither of these players, I think, are good enough for the Premier League. Onuma, potentially a squad player next year, I don't know. But clearly, he wasn't strong enough under Parker last year. And he's one of Parker's babies. So I don't see either of these players playing for Fulham next year.
Okay. Here's a very good question from Ralph Leach, okay? It's for both of you. I'll go right back to you, Miller. We're kind of talking about this. Yeah. How many new players do we need to be competitive in the Prem? Now, I know this is after a loss and everything is highlighted, but I think it's a fair question to ask. How many players, Emilio? And then I'll go to you, Max.
In my head, before the game, I said a minimum 5. A minimum 5 new regular starting players. Look at the two seasons ago. Scott Parker gave the promoted team 3 or 4 or 5 games to start with. Clearly, they're out of depth. And Tony Khan responded and went and got some decent signings. But clearly, it was maybe, you know, we just weren't able to take advantage of that. I don't think we can afford that luxury this time around. I think we need really a new keeper. I've said that before today. Yep. So I haven't changed my mind. We need a new number one. Another central defender, but an international proven defender like Anderson to play along Tosin.
Yep.
Robinson, I think is okay. I still believe in Robinson. I know he's not had the best seasons and he divides opinion.
How do you feel he played today, Emilio?
I thought he played okay second. He had one of
first half
games.
Was shaky, second half excellent driving.
Forward. I thought he played very well in the second half, Max. I'm glad you said
that's two.
That.
That's two.
Central defensive midfielder.
3.
Carvalho replacement.
4.
And we need a striker. We need another striker. We can't have Mitrovic playing alone up there. Mooney's coming on as an impact sub. No chance.
No chance. That's spot on. Emilio's spot on. Completely.
Okay.
Minimum
5.
Okay. And that's Stefan says 6.
Yeah.
5, minimum 5 to 7.
Okay.
Realistically.
All right. Very, very good stuff. I want to share this comment. This is from Recon 90, Coventry City fan here. You will be promoted. You deserve, given where you are. And listen, it's a great result for his side.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I want to give you credit, my friend, for commenting. And this is a a fair comment. So thank you for sharing it and watching the show. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah. Enjoy the celebrations today.
Yeah, enjoy it. Listen, the Coventry City supporters, they should deserve to have a good time. They deserve this, and they should be having a good night tonight. There's no question about it, because they deserve this victory. They deserve both of them. So I don't know what it is, Max. It's like Barnsley all over again 2 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, so, okay. So I'm going to ask you both to finish this up. Max, when do we win the title? Because Emilio doesn't want to talk about just being promoted. When do we win the title?
Well, I haven't crunched the numbers quite yet, but Steve was saying earlier before he went on air that Luton at home could be the match, Bank Holiday okay. Monday. Don't quote me on that, but you know, let's say that could be a provisional date. What do you think?
I think we've got Nottingham Forest at home will be tough. Bournemouth away and Sheffield United will be tough, but we've got Preston at home and Luton. There's enough games there to win. And Derby County, they've got to throw everything.
Yeah, they're gonna be fighting
on Friday night, and that's going to give us opportunities. So if we go back to play to our strongest team, be more composed, maybe bring Seri in there to just put a bit of quality composure in the central midfield, then I think we can recover. And if we win against Derby, then it's, you know, you could argue the championship's pretty much ours. Hey, two more wins is enough. Two wins will guarantee you the title.
Okay.
Shame it wasn't today, one of those two wins.
Okay. So here's another Coventry City supporter. Where was the revenge you were playing? Well, hey, fair play to Coventry City. You guys played much better than Fulham, so you deserved all 3 points. We've been saying that throughout the show, and want to congratulate all the Coventry City supporters. And whether they're watching now or watch a replay of this, congratulations on both victories. You deserve both of them. End of story. Guys, let's wrap this up, because, again, I want to thank you both for doing the show right after the match. Max, I'm going to be meeting you soon. I can't wait to meet you. Just give me your final thoughts before we go.
Yeah, final thoughts was, at a different day, it's a different result. There are a couple of really great chances to tie it up at 2-2. It didn't happen. But we're in a much different situation than when we lost 4-1 to Coventry in the fall. Back then, I think they're around 3 points. Maybe they've been ahead of us on points, both in the playoff places. Yeah, this is live broadcasting. And now we're top of the league, essentially going to be automatic promotions nailed on. It's a different story. You know, we can be more magnanimous and say credit to Coventry.
Yeah.
You know, best luck to them, but we'll be looking forward. And it wasn't today when we got close to promotion, but we're certain it'll be the next couple of weeks.
Okay. How about you, Emilio, to finish up the show?
Look, we've said it on the show a few occasions. The best team won today, so absolutely, no qualms about that. But look, you pull up your socks. You know, Marco Silva will, you know, we'll be giving him a bit of a kick up the backside, and we'll put ourselves together ready for Derby County away. We've got, what, 6 games left? We need 2 more wins to guarantee the title. So let's make one of them against Derby County. In the worst case, we don't win against Derby, it's not the end of the world. You've still got 5 more victories. And you've still got all the other teams have to win all their games as well.
Let's
be realistic here. You know, anything can happen. We can fall apart. We can lose the next 6 games. But the other teams still have to win their 6 games as well. So it's a lot to ask for. But it's in our hands. And it's been a bad day because Napoli also lost at home to Fiorentina today.
No.
So,
I'm sorry, Emilio.
I'm not happy about that. So it's been a double loss today. So never mind.
Oh, well.
Yeah, they've thrown away the title as well. So it's,
I was hoping for that Danilo double.
Yeah, it's one of them might happen. The Fulham one will happen. I'm not sure about the Napoli one. They've thrown it away today, another home defeat.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, Emilio. Yeah. That's a bad way to end the show.
Yeah, unfortunately.
But listen, guys, I want to thank you so much for joining me after this disappointing loss. And as we've been talking about it, for me, this match was more to do with how Coventry City played than how Fulham played, because they deserved all 3 points. But let's wrap this up.
Great to have Max here as well.
Yeah, good to see Emilio. Yeah.
What?
Great to have Max here as well.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm glad, Max, I'm glad that you are back in London enjoying yourself. And I hope you have a wonderful rest of your trip.
Well, there us. Yeah. Great to see the College Talk family.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Okay. Take care, everybody.
Okay. Bye. Well, to wrap up the show, I'm Russ Goldman. He is Emilio Danella, and he is Max Cohen. Thank you, as always, for watching and listening to Cottage Talk. It's the 90th minute, and all to play for at the end of the match. All your mates are around. You've got your McDougal share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? I know I'm in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.